Welcome to Situations and Solutions. I'm your host, Pastor Holden.
And I'm your co-host, Minister Greg.
Minister Greg's got the real life situations.
Pastor Holden's got out of this world solutions.
Chill!
Yeah, yes, yes, indeed. We're back.
Yes, brethren.
Good to be here.
Good to be.
With Pastor Live. Holder, my man.
With you, man.
Yo, you lit it up, man. Praise God. The message was illmatic.
Illmatic.
Word up, man. You know, just listening to it and thinking.
Shout out to Nas.
Definitely shout out to Nas. Shout out to Queens.
Yes, sir.
Just listening to the message and kind of having time to think, man, and read. You just every time, like now that I've gone back to, you know, read the text, man, there's so much there. Like I just said, like there's these hanging fruits. Like you want to just talk about everything. So we're gonna chop it up. We're gonna get into it, man. The title of the sermon was the case for full inclusion.
Yes, I believe that's full inclusion. Yes,
word up. And I think it's important to understand there is a historical precedence, biblical precedence for being a one people, right? And in that inclusion, you know, we are called to be before God and to hold up, you know, an ethic and a way of living per se that God has called us to live, and not one group over the other and vice versa. It was so fascinating when you talk about, you know, we talk about this text and this word, because there are so many situations that are blended in there. But one that resonates and, you know, and resonates here and also resonates now is this issue of privilege.
Right.
And how privilege, showed itself to be an issue between, the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers, early Christians and the Gentiles. Right. And so. Yo, bring us there, man. There was a lot.
Yeah, no, I'd say that even then we'd even talk about this, but we'll talk about it right now. I think you articulated pretty well already that the situation is that when you're not a part of the privilege,
right?
Like that's,
well said.
You know,
right.
When you are considered less than,
right,
in society,
right,
we found if you didn't know, now you know that it has, of course, continued. Especially with black and brown folk, that we are not considered part of the privilege.
Right.
You can see that in the vaccine distribution, of course, before
right.
that, the disproportionate number of people who have gotten COVID-19 is completely disproportionate and highly people of color,
right.
Particularly black and Latino brothers and sisters. So we're talking about this issue of privilege.
Right.
And when you're not a part of it.
As you brought that up, it just made me think of a report that I heard that even we've been impacted so much that the expected age, right, of life for.
Right. Dropped a year.
Dropped a year.
That's crazy.
Right. And it was already a wide gap. Like, right. I think it was like 72 to maybe 80 or like an 8-year gap. And so even expanding even further. Right. Yeah. And so not only is that a weight of on our health, you know, but just even on our life expectancy,
right? Right.
How we see and live.
Right.
Privilege has this negative impact on us being fully healthy people.
Yeah. So let's get into this. Absolutely. Let's get into this predestination thing. So this we're in Romans. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans, Paul. We're in chapter 8 right now, if you start right there,
sure.
Before we get to actually chapter 11, where the people are bankrupt, pun intended,
mm-hmm.
chapter
yeah.
11. Anyway, chapter 11. Yeah. And then so Romans 8, Paul, if you got to go back, every time you look at scripture,
yeah,
you got to kind of go back, man, get some context 99% of the time. Maybe sometimes in Proverbs you don't do that, but. So you're in Romans and you find out that like he's talking about predestination.
Right.
And
right. Right.
How people are predestined, you know, they're justified and they will be glorified.
Right.
And
he God sets has, it up like a
right. Right.
Like the like a theological kind of right. like understanding of
right.
like.
And what I learned in seminary, and I enjoyed seminary immensely, but the assumption was, and what we were taught, really about Romans was largely that, you know, when they talked about predestination, even in Romans, mm-hmm. That they were talking about the Jews.
Right.
And when they talked about, in Romans, in the book of Romans, when they talked about the Gentiles, it was about being engrafted in. And that's in there. No right. question about
sure,
that.
Sure.
But it was, the subject was really more about, like, you know, the Gentiles, you too are
right.
Christians.
Right, right.
It was that you too.
It's that underlying kind of awkwardness about like
right.
inclusion.
Yeah.
But.
Right. But if you read it in the full context, if you start even in before that, but if you start in Romans 8 and go, you right. find that he may be talking, the question arises, is he talking about Jews when he talks about predestination or is he talking to these new Gentile Christians?
Yeah.
Put that out
there. That's right there. I mean, there's
so
much,
argument to be made.
There's so much to say around that topic, right? And as I was reading and listening to you preach and then kind of thinking back to studying Romans, right? One thought that came to mind was like, you know, is Paul talking through the Gentiles to
Ooh.
Directly
right. I like that.
Reach the remnant of those.
That's
who,
very good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
who
talking
are,
through.
Yeah, he's like talking the through them.
To
while
the Jews.
Talking to them, but talking right. through them because there is a fulfillment of their coming into Christ, right? There's
right.
this oneness that he's still wrapping this oneness, but showing them there's a role for, there is their calling in that. And it's not to assume the position of privilege, but to, you know, to be the light that invites,
yeah,
to
be
the people, to be the example.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. To be the real light that God is calling to bridge the divide of.
Right. So what Paul is perhaps saying
mm-hmm.
is that you Gentiles
right.
are the chosen
people right.
at this time.
Right. Right. Right.
And not my people, because Paul is Jewish.
Right. Right. And he's wrestling with that, right?
And he's wrestling with it because his heart goes out to them.
Yeah.
He says, oh, I wish that, you know, that I could take on the curse,
right?
You know, of my people of my own race, my own kindred,
right, right,
kinship,
right. The flesh, right? The people of my own.
I
right.
wish I could take that curse on myself because my people have been cursed in a sense.
Right. Right.
He said it, not me.
Right.
I think that's Romans 9.
Yeah.
Or 10, right? 9. And so he gets 9, into 3. It. He gets into that. And so you see this whole thing about how he begins to elevate baby Christians
right.
who are Gentiles over his own people.
Right.
The privileged.
The privileged, right. Like, yeah, yeah. Like, there's this, man, I'm having a hard time articulating it, but there is this.
So did I, brother. Don't
trust,
worry about it.
Right, that.
I struggle with this scripture.
Yeah.
In a good way.
But
you don't struggle with it, you can't. You don't wrestle with it, bro.
There are these people
you ain't rolling with it.
Who might have been far from me, but they're closer than you even think because they respond to they're responsive now to this
yeah.
life I'm calling.
So it's just how it was, as we were talking about earlier, as Paul talks to the Gentile churches.
Right.
I mean, talks to the, I'm sorry, the Corinthian church,
right, right.
Second Corinthians about the Macedonian church,
right, right.
When the Macedonian church, the reason why the Macedonian churches actually existed was one of the reasons is because the Corinthian church ministered to them,
right.
So they came second, the Macedonian churches,
right.
But here is Paul in Second Corinthians talking to the Corinthian church about
right.
the example of the Macedonian churches in their. In their extreme poverty
right.
and all that they're going through, they gave above and beyond you could ever imagine.
Right,
their
right.
giving was crazy.
Right.
great.
The grace of giving, right? Like just.
Right. And that grace of giving.
Yeah.
And that now the Macedonian church was an example to the Corinthian church. And is he perhaps doing the same thing here, where he is really elevating the Gentiles, the baby church, and saying, you will be the example. You, the non-privileged, will be the example of the, to the privileged.
So yes, as I get that
made
sense,
me think about America, brother.
Yeah, but it also made me think about Jesus and the Pharisees, right? They're living a certain way, using privilege to hold back. You know, they're using privilege to hold up their own ethic and ignoring the broken people. And here's Jesus coming as they are watching Jesus do this. He is pointing out to them, no, this is my kingdom reality.
Right.
The thing that you're doing
right.
is creating a stumbling block, and so.
Who was Jesus hardest on?
Right.
He was hardest then on the Jews,
right?
Who were the religious
elite.
Right of the time,
right?
Who was
right.
self-righteous?
Come on, man!
And had all these laws,
yeah,
that they were adhering to, and then putting that yoke of those laws
upon
the rest of the people,
right?
And in order to separate themselves from the rest of the people,
right?
In order to elevate themselves, and Jesus was so hard on them,
right?
And is it here now again, Paul here doing exactly the same thing?
Right. That's what made me, like, I went right there. And then also, to your point, where we're at right now with this religious right movement that hides behind conservatism, but really is rooted in a long history of claiming to love God, but, you know, at the, you know, violent,
yeah,
you know, of to their neighbor, yeah. right? Enslaved
right.
neighbor. Like, that doesn't even make any sense, right? And so we have a history where this is being repeated over and over and over again, but it comes from a biblical place.
Sure, this is when I was reading this and studying this last week, and it just kept on coming up, this parallel
yeah.
between, of course, between in America, between black white folks and mm-hmm. black and brown folks,
yeah,
and this separation and this level of, and during Black History Month, this level of self-righteousness, of
mm-hmm.
predetermining or defining what Christianity is in America.
Right.
White, largely, not all white evangelicals, because I'm part of a denomination
sure.
that has a
sure.
large number of white
sure.
evangelicals, but I love the covenant. The covenant is amazing.
Absolutely.
Because they're countercultural to
Greek.
What is out there in terms of the horrible name that evangelicals, white evangelicals, be clear,
right.
have gotten and deserve.
Right.
Let me be clear.
Yes.
So, but the separation
right.
between the two, you know, they determine what the platform is for Christians.
Right. Like they try to set the national agenda.
It right.
Becomes
like we should
the empire
are they for abortion
up.
Or not. What
right.
politician is. So if they're pro-life, meaning if they're
right.
against want to legislate against abortion,
right.
that's the Christian thing to do.
Right.
Well, that's your made up law.
Right.
Your made up law.
That is the law of the empire.
That's not what's highlighted in scripture.
No way. Not at
so
all.
So you can go ahead and interpret the law any way you want. I ain't
right.
falling for that.
Right. Right.
And I don't even have to explain myself.
There it
That's
is.
That's
right
the
there.
Thing.
That's right.
That's the thing. When white privilege gets to interpret the scriptures,
yeah,
I ain't trying to have it. I ain't trying to have it. So I'm gonna interpret it the way I see it.
Right.
And I'm edumacated. Yes, edumacated.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
I
sir.
Can do that, and you can do that, and people can do that.
Yeah.
In their own context. And guess what? The people who are not in the privileged circle in terms
mm-hmm.
of America,
right,
will have a better handle on scripture,
right,
than someone who is arrogant and self-righteous and in that privileged place,
right? Because privilege just is it boasts you up and to this self-righteous position, right? You miss so much of what the victim is experiencing because of your you
Come
know,
on.
Lack of yeah. sight and your culpability of into
right.
what you're doing.
How does the hunter?
Come on, yeah, I liked it when you.
How does the hunter?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we take the story of the hunter
mm-hmm.
over the story of the hunted?
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
if the hunter comes back and tells you a story,
right,
the hunter's story will be about the hunter's triumphal a journey,
great, you know, experience,
and, and victory,
right.
And the same thing that happened that we didn't see, if you got the story of the hunted, unfortunately, sometimes you can't get the story of the hunted because the hunter killed the hunted.
Right.
You might end up with a different interpretation of what just took place.
Come on, man. We're going to get into that later, too, but there, yeah, absolutely, because in even with that, right, the story of the hunted, the story of the victim, the story of those who have been marginalized, it gets written and grafted into this story of our wounded Savior, right? And we come to know more about Jesus in these moments because that's where we find the hope to live and go beyond, right? These experiences that, you know, that were intended to harm and disconnect us.
That's why I love Howard Zinn's The People's History of America.
Man, that dope book. Yeah.
Because it's the people's history of America.
Right, right.
Not how it was told to us by the privileged.
Absolutely. Right. You know, that's why you get these fools out here arguing against the 1619 Project. I'm like, you know,
revisionist history, keeping the history that we was given.
Right, right.
And that actually, ironically, needs to be revised because
absolutely.
It's not true.
Right. A lie can only stand but for so long. At some point, people are going to ask the question of greater society and then themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And right.
So you can't hide behind a lie. You can only build on the truth.
So when the hunted, you know, tells a story of what happened between them and the hunted, you get these flowery things about how great they were and how much even the hunter suffered. You know, so you think about like Reconstruction. I was just reading about Reconstruction again. There's great books out there.
Yeah.
One by Henry Louis Gates, Stony,
yeah, Stony the Road. Yep.
And it's telling the true history of among other things, definitely Reconstruction and the importance of understanding what the history books previously told us in the 20s and 30s, and it carried on into the 60s and 70s when I was in school,
right
before you were born, brother.
Yes, sir.
And then what you get is this whole, oh, the Reconstruction era was a time where a lot of white Southerners suffered.
That
like,
is so
wow, they
crazy.
Suffered
right.
because black people were elevated to positions they could not handle. They weren't able. They didn't have the brain capacity to handle,
man,
and
America,
so that's why it ended because we fell apart. Our people versus the truth of the matter is they could not handle the elevation of the oppressed in any level of any form or in any perceived form of equity.
Right, right. No, there is no brotherhood equality to be found in that context, right?
And like, so that justifies the reason after Reconstruction after they killed it, the reason for the lynchings, the reason for of the black man and woman, the reason for Jim Crow laws, the reason go on for mass incarceration.
Right.
The reason that you can enslave people only if they incarcerated, you can treat them and they are in effect slaves.
Right.
So you can sell them out for cheap labor. And you go on. And this is what you get because of this misinterpretation, because of this privilege.
Right.
Because of this lie of history.
Right, because if
lying about
if your privilege makes someone else less than what God created them to be, then it makes them easier to be subjected to your rule. Then and by you can put upon them your own, you know, dominance and your own way of living. So you move people, you become a law unto yourself.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Right.
right? And now everyone's got to abide by it, and you're out of line. But you have the nerve, the audacity. God reminds us, you have the audacity to call yourself.
Oh, the caucasity.
Oh, caucasity.
I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, I did. That was dope.
Yeah.
Of following Jesus.
Right.
I always ask the question, like, wait, how does any of that align with Jesus?
It doesn't. And here it is in the scripture, with the scripture, I think it's 9 or 10 Romans. It says Jesus, Jews have made up in there, that back then made up their own laws,
right,
if you will. And Jesus is the culmination of the law. That means no one can determine whether we go to heaven or we go to hell. No one can determine what's right or wrong. Jesus fulfilled all the law.
Right.
And he is the one who justifies us. We're going to get back after the break.
Yes,
we
got to
get, there's a lot here.
Yeah,
it's
a lot
here.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Peace.
Yep.
This podcast is sponsored by New York Covenant Church, Church for Today's World. Find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at New York Covenant, or on the web at newyorkcovenant.com. Yeah, so we're back.
Yes, we are.
And it's great to talk about the scripture. Let's start right where Romans 9 and 6 says this. I love this. This is a quote, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children." Then he says, in other words, verse 8, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. I mean, is he talking about Gentiles? I think so.
Right.
Then he goes on to verse 25, as he says in Hosea, "I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one.
Right.
And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, in that place, there they will be called the children of God."
Yo, come on, man. Like, that's clear, right? Like, he's drawing there, you know, it's just, there's this, right, heritage on both sides, right? He's creating this link to Jesus, right? There's this spiritual connection, and then there is this, you know, I guess, you know, these are the heritage of knowing or becoming into this relationship with God, and they have abandoned
the lineage, the heritage, the history,
right.
The people that were quote unquote supposed to be God's people, and then you parallel that with America and how here's Anglos coming from the Great Reformation,
right,
coming into America because of persecution and wanting the freedom of religion to practice their Christianity, and they come and deliver a message that's not the full gospel. In fact, it is some kind of warped form of it.
But then go ahead and inflict upon people the thing that they were running from,
right?
The oppression, the freedom, the poverty, the oppression. Right.
And then they have all these great, from Martin Luther,
right,
Luther to whether it is John Calvin, you could say what you want to say.
Sure.
Whether it's John Wesley,
right,
and his brother. You have this in America as well, and some great theology there.
Right.
And you think that they're carrying this great weight of proselytizing.
Right.
More people.
Right.
And even, of course, black people.
Right.
They killed it. The native people.
Right.
In America.
Exactly. Right.
So not too many of them left. And then, but they were, enslaving both of us, but largely us. And, and they try to give us this message of the gospel that's all warped in some crazy way.
Come on, man.
We find the true gospel. In all of that, we read it. We begin to read it for ourselves.
Right.
And we find the true message. We find that God is not a God who is oppressive, but he is the God of the oppressed.
Of the oppressed, right. And that there is true freedom.
And we find, right, we find this liberating message.
Right. Yeah.
Inside a deep and dark and dismal place.
Right. And so the lie gets built upon or perpetrates our people, and it continues to keep, like, they keep building layers upon layers upon layers of it. But the message of hope, the presence of the Spirit in the worship of the people creates a faith and a relationship to a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
who was unjustly murdered on a cross. And our people then, you know, this is one of the challenges, right, that I've encountered. Cause a lot of people talk about, you know, and I guess of my age and even younger, we're going to work towards liberating our people, and we're going to look back to our ancestors. But people look back to our ancestors and forget that the faith that they had in God
is what drove them.
And so, yeah,
you can't
separate them from their faith that God was building, you know, the faith and the hope that they had to move forward and to fight in their own ways.
The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, is the organizing tool for the oppressed.
Say that again, man. That's it.
I don't know if I can say that again.
I'm gonna say it like, yeah. I think what you just said. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the organizing tool for the oppressed.
Yeah.
Facts.
That right, and you take out the organizing tool, you have a lot of individuals saying, we're going to own our own block.
Right.
Let's go on. I'm going to teach you how to own your block. Right. I'm going to teach you how to do this. But there's no organizing tool. There's not one framework of life or foundation of life. Right. We would call it. There's no theological framework for that.
Yeah.
Without Christ.
Yeah. It reminds me of these discussions that I get into sometimes about community, and people talk and profess community because it sounds right. Right. Like we gather together. But if Christ is not at the centerpiece, then our agreed upon love. Right. The love for the other. How can we stand as a community?
Right. We won't understand the true definition of the beloved community.
Right. Right, right.
What does it mean to be an Acts church?
What does it really mean to love without understanding that what Jesus' love is and what it does?
Yeah,
right. It's the noun, the verb, the adjective, it's all of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, yeah, the power of just the faith, even of
those are the challenges that you have with, like, the Black Panther Party.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the challenges you have with, all of that part of it,
right.
And people who are really seeking to do justice,
right?
But then getting into these arguments and disagreements and how that was going to take place, and other people going way out there, you don't have this organizing tool,
right?
This organizing word, this direction that says, no, this is right and this is wrong, this is what you should do,
mm-hmm.
this is what, and then guess what? The power of God, the Holy Spirit, he will lead and empower you to be successful in your community organizing.
Right. In some sense, it reminds me of kind of what Paul is Apostle Paul is speaking to the Gentiles about. In some sense, that you're not going. I'm calling you to this greater unity. So you have become a people that's going to be a witness. But not to take on the same identity as those who were a people before you, right? So I don't want you to, you don't take on, don't put on the identity of those who did what they did to you to reject you. Don't boast, don't lose sight that God is in control. The full being the humility of knowing where the root is, the root of your foundation. Don't lose that. Because if you lose that, then you become just like the people that I am disappointed in. I mean, disappointed with before God.
Yeah, that's a powerful piece. I mean, we get that toward the end of that scripture.
Yeah, yeah. And it just made me think of that.
No, but that's great. We can bring it up now if we want. But in Romans 11. So, but yeah, no, that's we can just go there. God leads us to this whole place, and we could talk about it where disobedience. We all disobedient.
Right. That's
and
right.
So at
right.
in one time or another.
Sure.
At one time or another. So at this point in time, as he's writing to these Gentiles, it is the Jewish,
right,
his people, the Jews, his people who are disobedient.
Right.
That
right.
he's referring to.
Right.
And he's really not referring to the Gentile baby Christians right. at all. He's talking, as you said, through them.
Right.
Really to the his people to say, you know, I wish that you would get saved. I wish that the curse would fall upon me that's on you
right.
because you're so arrogant, because you're so self-righteous, because you made up your own laws, because you've done this that oppressed people. I wish that wasn't the case.
Right.
And so now the Gentiles would be the example. So we get into this that we're all, the scripture, I don't have it in front of me, but talks about how we're all fall into disobedience.
Right.
And so that's what it is. Gentiles aren't not in this particular context at this time largely. So he's speaking to them and hoping and praying for his people who are disobedient. But
right.
just remember, one time you were disobedient
right,
too.
Right, right,
and but God in his grace, and this is why we get into the praise at the end of chapter 11,
mm-hmm.
where there is what's called, you look at your English version of your Bible, and it might say, a paragraph might say doxology, and it is the praise of God that we have because of the mercy of God. Now, if you look at chapter 11 at the end, you'll see a number of times where it says the word mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. Because of
yeah.
God's mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because of God's mercy, we acknowledge who he is. We praise him,
mm-hmm.
right? And we get into this praise. And I know I'm going a little farther, but that's okay because that's where God's leading me, I believe.
Yeah.
And then you get into 12. And then you read 12 Ooh. In the context it's supposed to be read in Romans 12, right?
Right.
Therefore, right?
I got you. Yeah, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, right, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Correcting it, right? Putting it into context.
And here it is right there. Your true and proper worship, Greek, it's logikos. It's your logical worship.
Right.
It makes sense. It's reasonable because you're not in the disobedient part now. You
right.
once were disobedient.
Go ahead, man.
Now you're obedient.
Yeah.
And because you're obedient, you're called to be the church and the example. So let me show you how to be the church. Watch
Boom.
This. Let me show you how to be the church.
Right.
Romans 12. Therefore, do not conform to this world,
right.
but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on, guess what, to talk about gifting. He talks about body and many members
yeah.
in the body
yeah, 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 yeah.
because he's teaching them how to be the church, to be the example, watch this, of the Jews, of those of his kinship, of those of his race,
go ahead, man.
To be the example for them,
talk that talk.
The oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
It's called to be example to the oppressor. The oppressor who Jesus comes out of, you know, in sense, right? Not the oppressor, but
right,
he comes
right.
out of that lineage, or at least they claim
the
lineage of being the Christians or being the religious.
Right.
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 But we are there being taught by the very people they look down upon to be the church.
Come on now.
And Paul is teaching them how to be the church.
And so,
boom,
yo.
Bam.
Mic drop, like that's listen, those that just you just ripped it up right
yo,
there.
Yo, man, that's
because that's it. It
came effects in Jesus' name.
Yo, that's yeah. what's up. No, it came right there. But that brings us to where we're at now, right? And so the responsibility of the church is to speak these truths to power, right? To speak up, stand up, to be the light, the beacon of hope in the face of injustice, in the face of oppression, right? And to correct the wrong. But also, right, to call for this
reconciliation.
I was going to say reconciliatory, but I don't even know if that's
a good
word.
Yeah, that works.
Right.
That's a word.
Amongst those who are far off, that a remnant may come and join and be a part of this greater body called to be the church.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because then that's the witness.
That's the thing right there.
There it is. That's the witness.
Yo, that was crazy right there in the scripture where it says that he said, but I've set aside a remnant.
Right.
And now I'm even questioning. It could very well be the Jews. Let me be clear. It could very well be the Jews that are the remnant here. But I'm having some questions, brother.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good possibility, or at least there's a possibility that it's the Gentiles he's talking about.
Okay.
That he's prophesying that I'm with you.
Yeah.
That he's prophesying that I left a remnant, and the remnant, which scripture is that?
That's,
the remnant is not the Jews, but the potentially the Gentiles, because that's who he's talking.
Yeah,
to.
That's 11. Yeah, Romans 11, and we get all the way into it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That just hit. I mean, that's just one of those things, man. When I read that, I was like, man, who's the remnant here? Like that he's referring to here,
right?
In this particular scripture,
right? It makes you listen.
Is he talking about the Gentiles because they're the ones that are left that are doing that are not disobedient?
Yeah, because, I mean, you get to...
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I
hashtag.
Know.
Hashtag.
Then you get to, like, you get right to 11. Again, I asked, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery, right?
No.
Not all. No. Right? And then when I get down to... it's like a lot of back and forth of... I guess 15 stands out to me the most. For if their rejection, this is chapter 11,
verse 15.
Yep. If their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?
Right. Yeah. So we're called to reach them.
Right. And them, meaning like them, those who are out there who are lost and who are
part of the privilege.
Right. Right. And who don't see that they're far off. They think they're actually near.
Right.
But our witness needs to be one that stands up for justice, but also carries, what you said too, carries this restorative kind of mercy, right? Because we're always seeking.
Yep. Justice and grace that we're always seeking to bring people into a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's the charge. And I believe that's the charge of many black and brown people who love the Lord.
Right.
That we're called to be the witness,
right?
To be the church, the big C church,
right?
In America, for many people, not all,
right?
Not all white folks,
no.
There's many woke white folks in Jesus' name,
right?
So let me rephrase that. There are some.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole contingency, at least 74 million,
mm-hmm.
Apparently,
right.
Many of which who call themselves Christians,
right?
Who are lost,
right?
Who are lost.
Absolutely.
Completely lost as it relates to God.
Ever, even seeing, knowing this, who they have chosen to be their king, right? And
with
even
the golden calf.
Even as of, 2 days ago,
right.
Walking into a conference where he is being immortalized as with a golden statue. Like, it's obvious, right? Like the heart of idolatry is right there.
Yeah.
And and there are so many people who could proclaim that they are following Jesus.
God has a great sense of humor in a sense. He's like, see what they're doing? I knew they were going to do that, but look at that. Look at that.
I want you to see it. Right.
If that doesn't remind you of something, I don't know what will.
Gotta know your truth.
And they're still talking about the election being.
Still talking about the same lie.
Yeah.
And building in layers and layers of lies.
It's like hanging with the devil, man. You're just always hanging with a loser.
That's what's up.
Now they can win some skirmishes,
right?
But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done,
right?
When Jesus returns,
we got the long score. Oh yeah, we got the long view, man.
They're all lost.
Oh yeah,
without Jesus,
yeah,
they're
absolutely.
All lost.
They don't know what to do with themselves. There are some who have fallen away and know that they're fallen, but they don't. They refuse to accept that there is a greater call to putting down their privilege and to being reconciled with God. Like we can look at it in terms of like, man, this is an injustice against our people, which it is, but it also is disrespectful. It breaks the heart of God when people lose sight of their relationship and who he's called us to be. Right? This is more of an assault on their faith and belief in God.
Sure it is.
Right?
Sure it is.
To their own detriment.
Oh, this was good, man.
Yeah, that's what's up. That was great. I mean, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
But nah, that was great. Nah, man, I really enjoyed that, man.
And, I'm full, man.
I am. The plate has been cleared.
It's cleared.
Nah, that was great. Nah, what's up, man?
Yeah.
You know, putting down privilege, man, is going to be a major theme of where we're at in this society.
Yeah.
But also uplifting those who the witness of those who don't have privilege is the powerful witness.
That's a serious powerful witness, and that is what as I title the message, right? It's the case for full inclusion.
Right.
That's the solution to the situation,
right,
of not being part of the privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the people who are not a part of the privilege are called,
right,
to reach their hands out,
right,
and embrace those,
yeah, man,
by being the example of the true church,
yeah,
of Jesus Christ in America.
Ooh, that's the hard work.
That's the hard work.
Yeah,
but that is the solution.
That is the solution.
So whoever. Will, let them come.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever will, excuse me, let them come. Sorry, right. Tongue twister.
We've all been disobedient before the Lord.
Right.
And he offers us grace.
Absolutely.
And mercy.
Absolutely. Great word. Yeah, let's not, you said it, I'm not going to say it. Well, I'll say it anyway. Let's not get it twisted. There was Christianity in Africa.
Oh, yeah. We can go into that.
Let's not get it twisted.
Right.
That was a whole nother history that we know. Of how that, in a sense, got annihilated in so many ways, right?
Right.
So,
right.
It's religious wars. So, anyway.
Yes, sir.
Genocide. Anyway, all right. Great. Pleasure.
Pleasure. What's up?
Good to be with you.
Always great. Let's keep building and
Building, brother.
The word is good.
Just gotta do this new reconstruction thing.
Yo,
bro.
That's gonna be dope. So there's some things coming.
There's some things on the plate, brother. we about to serve it up.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's good to be here, and peace to y'all, man.
Yeah, peace. Peace. If you like this episode, please subscribe to or follow our podcast. We'll be back at you next week with a new real life situation and an out of this world solution. Peace.